All right, you're live on the Arms and Glenn.
And John.
Another wonderful, wonderful week has begun.
I know, right?
I had just a good weekend, man. I got to spend time with friends. I got to do some teaching. Ryan and I did the Stop the Bleed, the beginning of the Stop the Bleed thing. National Stop the Bleed Month. We taught two classes at the Tactical Medic.
Mm-hmm.
And phenomenal. We had a huge turnout in the first one.
It was a great turnout.
There was over 20 people in the first one. The second one was smaller. I think we had about 10 or so.
Yeah.
And but a ton of people coming and going, just learning about medical stuff. Always makes me happy. And if you miss that and you want to do a Stop the Bleed class, and they're free, right? So there's no reason that you're in Arizona you shouldn't want to do one.
Yeah.
Our next one's going to be in Phoenix on the 15th, hosted by AR500 Armor. After that, May 19th is, that's an evening class. All these are evening classes. May 19th is going to be down in Tucson, hosted actually by a local brewery, which is going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, it's the 28th, the 30th, and the 31st. So 28th is in Scottsdale, hosted by C2 Tactical. 30th is in Tempe, hosted by C2 Tactical. And then the 31st, whatever the hell it is, in Flagstaff, which is, we're not sure we're going to host that one yet, but yeah.
We should find a brewery.
Yeah, we should find one. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I like teaching this class. And then we have mixed in there, we have two corporations that are also hosting Stop the Bleed classes because it's National Stop the Bleed Month for their people.
Right. Nice. Yeah.
So I think all in all, this month we're teaching like 9 or something like that.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a great way to spread knowledge and get people fired up, man. And it was just a good time anyway, you know. Had a great time. Got to go see some friends Saturday night that I haven't seen in a while, and definitely need to incorporate back into my life because I'm missing.
Yeah.
And then same thing on Sunday, man. Got to go see some friends I haven't seen even longer. And just, you see good friends, like, you have friends and then you have ride or die friends, you know what I mean? And when it's been a while because you get distracted, life takes you down different paths, whatever, and you just don't spend enough time with your really good friends, damn. Then you see them again and you're like, dude, like, I still love these people.
We need to do this more.
We need to do this all the time.
So 3 years from now, we'll do this again.
3 years ago, well, this time I'm like, no way, man, I'm doing it more often. It's just freaking awesome. Congratulations, Mr. Lucas there just posted up. Got an A on my final for medic school this morning. Congratulations, man, freaking well done. Good job putting in the work and the effort.
Is that Sloth Pocket
awesome.
Lucas?
That is Sloth Pocket Lucas. That's right.
Send me your address. I have something to send you.
It's a dildo. Don't send him your address.
A used one.
John,
I found it in a dumpster.
Sure.
I didn't say the dumpster wasn't behind my house.
Thank you to all of our patrons for being on the show and supporting us. We really appreciate that. Remember, if you're a $10 or above patron, we have your extra show coming up today. All right, so your extra show every month. And remember to send us your show ideas. If you're a $10 or above patron, which is actually the majority of our patrons,
yeah,
you should definitely send us your show. A lot of people like the religion show.
Okay.
So we're going to do something similar this month. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to listen. But, yeah, Ryan and I are going to discuss other similar things that are just interesting, right? People love the religion show, man. I got tons of freaking comments and feedback on
it. Yeah, we got some good feedback. Yeah. It was good.
Anyway, so yeah, send us your show ideas if you're a $10 above patron. For the rest of you guys, all patrons, all right, according to our new Patreon rules that we're following, it's actually not new Patreon rules, we just actually read them. But according to the Patreon rules, all patrons are invited to participate with no purchase or no additional purchase necessary in our monthly contests.
Yes.
All right. We have, and they're not, it's not really a contest so much as it's a giveaway. We have two that we're doing this month. Microbat Systems was nice enough to send us a couple of their candy pouches, which are really cool. You can tuck them in like behind a mag carrier, tuck them into an admin pouch, just stick them straight onto Velcro, and you'll have nice little candy pouches. You can put batteries, candy. What was the cool thing you came up with last week? Didn't you come up with something really handy you could put in here? Can't remember what it was. I'm like, candy or ammo? That's all it is. Oh, the grinds! That's right. Yeah, they're a perfect freaking fit for a grinds pouch. So the giveaway for that is your favorite quote from the show and the show or episode it was in.
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll go back and we'll if it makes us laugh and makes us have good memories, it's basically how we're doing.
What was the example you gave from the guys at
the guys from Microbat, actually their example, because they came up with this one. Right. We like to give the people who have giving us the stuff a chance to come up with the giveaway. So his example was during I think it was our religion episode. Where I said, I don't want to watch anybody make out
sandwich.
Because we were talking about the Chick-fil-A and the homosexual thing. And I'm like, look, it's not about homosexuals. It's the fact. I don't want to watch anyone make out while I'm eating a chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm. And he thought that was pretty funny. So that was his example. We've already gotten a few good quotes back. In fact, one of our listeners actually put it on his Instagram as a post.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite quote and the next giveaway, which is for the lights. These really cool security lights for your house. That are motion sensor night lights as well as flashlights in an emergency. And so they're really cool. And that was your top five security tips for the home, which we'll publish a big list of the top ones that come through. And if there's any crossover, whatever, that's fine. So yeah, there you go.
Bear moat.
Bear moat's definitely number one on Ryan's list.
Yeah.
So make sure you send those over to info@trainingaz.com. If you're going to post them up on Instagram, send us a post or send us a message or whatever, that's fine. Put them up on Facebook. However you want to get them to us, you know how to get us. It was interesting, actually. I had an opportunity this weekend at some friend's house. They had had a failed home invasion near their home.
Mm.
And so they, while I was there, were like, hey, since we're here, let's sit hanging out, barbecuing in the backyard, let's talk about some home safety tips. And so it's sometimes it's interesting to me how people look at home security. And so much of it is like, quit looking at it like you and start looking at things like a bad guy. And,
yeah.
and just for this one friend that was there, it was like just changing her mind about, look, you see this part of your house? This is where I would come to. You see how that screen is slightly loose? That's what I would attach. So you have that single pane window with the lock in the center. Like, that's my point of entry right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walk over and pop the lock. And she's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, that's your window.
You know what I found out with most, so with newer style houses, what burglars will do?
Mm.
So they won't go after windows or doors because that's where a lot of security measures are.
Mm-hmm.
If the house doesn't have motion sensors, what they'll do is actually all your walls is stucco and chicken
going
wire.
Going straight through the wall?
Yeah. So all it is stucco and chicken wire. So they'll take a small sledge, break a hole, then they'll cut the chicken wire, and then they have access inside the house. So if you have a newer style house and you don't have a motion sensor, consider it. Because they're going straight through the wall. No shit. Yeah. The walls aren't, they're not brick
no,
anymore.
No, they're not. Well, and the walls of the majority of modern houses suck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I live in a house that was built in the 40s. Yeah, like
solid
mid
concrete.
Oh, brick. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
it's
love
awesome.
Brick houses, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Riley Howell. Riley Howell, young man who died in the UNC Charlotte shooting just last week or was it week four?
Last week.
By throwing himself.
Charging the guy.
Yeah, charging the guy and throwing himself onto the shooter. It was interesting because I read a post about the shooter or about the shooting on Instagram, and it was by someone that I respect. I think they have good head on their shoulders, and they had written, this guy did more unarmed than most people could do armed. And my post, and I don't really comment on a lot of stuff honestly on Instagram because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Your comments get lost or whatever. Unless it's someone I know and I know they're going to interact with me, my comments are just getting lost, and I don't really care to do that. I have other things to do with my time. But in this particular situation, I decided, because I know this person and I respect him, I was going to comment. I said, I agree that he's a very brave individual. However, I disagree that he was unarmed. And in fact, I would actually swap that and say that he was more armed than most people who walk around with guns.
Hmm.
Because he was willing. Like that lady we talked about last week,
yep,
who threw herself in front of the rabbi,
yeah,
during the shooting there. She was, I think 60 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She was more armed with no gun at 60 years old, with no prior, she wasn't like freaking badass or anything like that,
mm-hmm,
than most people I see walking around with guns. So I think that, Riley Howell was not unarmed. where we could help future Riley Howells. The greatest tragedy of any tragedy is us not learning from anything, right? So I like the fact that they haven't talked about the shooter in this case. Because I don't give a shit who he is.
Yeah, they haven't.
I don't care
at all.
He's a genderless, faceless blob to me.
Right.
The only thing that I care about with the shooter is I want to know his motivation, I want to know his execution, and I want to know, you know, really what he was there to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can learn from that to help us incorporate better security measures and to help us, especially as instructors, when we go teach people, it helps us say, hey, here's the trends that are happening, right? Because trends change.
Right.
What I would say could help future Riley Howells is if classes, schools, administrators would get off their stupid asses and actually do something to start training their people, staff, and students about how to handle situations like this, medically as well as physically.
Mm.
Could some of these people who got shot and killed have been saved? I always err on the side of saying yes. Right?
Yeah.
Unless they're getting put on their knees and executed through the freaking eyeball, the likelihood they're probably getting shot in the chest or the torso. That's where most people get shot. It's an easy big target. Mm. So the likelihood that they could be saved is actually pretty good. We're doing them a disservice by not learning from these experiences and then not applying that information to the next shooting.
And we're not saying anything wrong against the bystanders and the witnesses that were there.
No, they did what they could do.
Yeah, they did what they could do with what they have. We're just talking, obviously, about this is going to happen again.
Yep, it's going to happen again. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. It's going to continue to happen. Doesn't matter if you take all the guns away or whatever. Riley Howell was armed with the right physical capability, mental capability, and just downright proper freaking soul to make this happen. Now, we could have prepared him even better, or maybe prepared those around him to assist, or maybe prepared those around him to maybe save him or keep him alive longer. I don't know what the cause of death was. There's no autopsy report on the kid yet or anything, or man yet. But understand that we're just doing these people a disservice. I know that going into schools, I've been to colleges, schools, I've gone into schools that my kids have attended and literally sat down with administrators. And I mean, this isn't once, this isn't twice. I've done this dozens of times over the years. We give free training to schools. And I've sat down with their administrators and said, I, especially since my kids are attending here, I will do whatever it takes. I will give you all that. You look at what we do, I'll give it all to you. I want you to be prepared in case one of your staff, one of your students needs to be helping my child. My kids are ready to roll. They're not gonna follow your stupid fucking rules either. So get ready for that, right? Because we're all huddled in the corner getting shot by a shooter. My kid ain't there. Oof. Don't be surprised if my kid's already out on the lawn beating feet home, right? Because my kids can, you know, my kids know how to E&E. They're gonna get the fuck out of there because your people are weak sheep and just slaughtered. Right, my kid's not gonna be there when that happens. You want me to help you teach your people how to do that? I'm not just a concerned father, like this is what I do professionally. We have a team of people who do this professionally. We have a lot of experience in how to do these things. Please, please let me come in and do it. Still never been invited to do it.
Yep.
I'll go to individual teachers and say, look, you're teaching my kid, your administration's freaking weak-minded, simple fuck. Maybe perhaps you would be interested. Can I help you? You're welcome to come to any of my programs. Free of charge, no cost, I don't care. Come to my program. You teach my kid, you're with my kid all day for the most part. Come to the programs, please, at least educate yourself. None of them. Weak. They're weak. And as long as that real weakness, not perceived weakness, continues, this shit will continue. And that's why these things are such easy targets.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid someone with real skill and ability walks into one of these places one day.
Yep.
Because these people who are attacking are also weak-minded, simple, pathetic people. They don't have great skill or ability. Otherwise, the body counts would be staggering.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating, as you can tell by my voice,
no,
to deal with this stuff, because this is going to continue, and we're doing a disservice to men like Riley Howell.
But here's the
by thing. Not doing anything based on the lessons we're learning. I guarantee they're not doing anything to improve it.
No, here's the biggest issue you have. It never happens at my kids.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen at my kids. Well, it happens at these others.
It's denial. It's not accepting the true like sense of fear, like accept fear. Fear is fucking healthy.
The healthy fear, yeah.
Yeah. Accept it. Like bring it in and prepare. That's the point of fear is you listen to your intuition and then prepare for it.
No.
Weird. It's like it's that thing in the back of your brain that's been developing for millennia.
Yeah.
Something's not right. Oh, well, I'm just going to keep going down this road.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, but of course, you know, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, let me send you your thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and fucking prayers.
You know what people want instead of your thoughts and prayers? A sandwich. A sandwich does something. Your thoughts and prayers don't do shit. Yeah.
Or a nice blanket.
Make them a sandwich. Make them a blanket.
A nice blanket.
Everybody so here's the offer that I'll extend to anyone who's listening. I'll always extend this offer. This has always been a thing since we've been in business a decade. All right? If you are a school teacher, mm-hmm. a school administrator, a concerned parent, whoever it is that you are, I will train at your school anywhere in the state of Arizona. I will come to you. We will pay for it. We do it on our dime. So we will pay for it. We will take care of it. We will train your staff.
Mm-hmm.
We give 2 to 3 hours of free training. That's not a lot, but it's enough to start getting people pointed in the right direction. When people want to go beyond that, well, this is what we do for a living, so at some point in time we got to make some money. And if people are interested in that, that's fine. But we'll take it as far as we can in the allotted amount of time.
Yeah.
And if they want to stack on a Stop the Bleed class, which is also free, on top of our already free school training, they could get 5 hours of free training. They could get 2 to 3 hours of security training, plus 2 hours of freaking medical training, 5 hours for free for any school. I challenge any school to actually stand up. Reach down, male administrators and teachers. Reach down and see if your balls are still there, you fucking pussies. And actually do something to stop this kind of shit from happening. Or keep going along with the freaking status quo. It's not going to happen at my school. Our school is safe because we got fences and we got an unarmed security guard. And everyone has to go through the front gate. And by golly, that keeps them quit thinking like you. Because we don't think like you, and I'll guarantee I'll come in anywhere. There's not a school campus I've been to yet that I cannot get into.
Yep.
Lock it down all you want. I'm in every time. Every time. Security systems, cameras, put them up. I'll get in there every single time. I've been doing this a long time. I know how to get in. Every time. It's not enough. And most people aren't even actively doing it the right way anyway. They use it as a passive system, not an active system. It's still an active thing that you have to be doing, right? The four D's of structural defense are deter, detect, delay, and defend. All of those things are active roles. You have to actively be doing that. People think, like, from a military perspective, like, you put up a fob or whatever, and you put out some claymores and some trip wires, and then you just sit back and wait. No, that is not how that works. It's an active role that you're taking to make sure that your perimeter is secure. And people with their security in their mind, they don't think it's an active role. To them, it's a passive thing.
Yeah.
So if you're an administrator, a teacher, a concerned parent, whatever, call us up and talk to me. I'm happy to dial you in on what we can do for your school. And I hope against what I know are the realistic odds.
This definition of insanity.
And you know what? If your feelings are hurt, right now, it's because you're defensive. And if you're defensive, it's because you know you're doing something wrong.
That's right. Yeah, man up, man. Or lady up, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's that simple. Yeah, I've tried talking to my my daughter's administration, and they're like, "Yeah, bring us a quota for CPR AED." I'm like, "Yeah, we do other medical stuff. Like, what other medical stuff would we need?" I'm like, "Well, just in case there's like some type of massive bleed." And she's like, "Huh? Well, that's what the professionals are for."
Professionals?
I'm like, "Well,
the nurse at my kid's school's retarded."
Nurses aren't even real medical professionals.
Exactly, so. But that's not what she meant. She meant, as far as like EMS.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna come save us.
And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course, EMS will come, but the average response time in Phoenix is 12 fuck. I didn't say fuck, but 12 minutes." And she was like, "Really? Yeah.
They're like, 12 minutes. Everyone who's gonna die is dead already."
Yes. And that's 12 minutes from dispatch. That's not 12 minutes from incident.
Do not, we cannot, it is a disservice to people like Riley Howell.
Yeah.
It is a disservice to them to not do something about the lessons that we learned from their death.
Just pass some more legislation. That's what we do.
Legislation work.
That's what we do.
Redwire gear, moment, go.
Use an appropriate belt for carrying your gun. Okay. You carry a gun, buy the right belt. Don't buy a $5 Walmart belt. If you do, you're an idiot. Don't even buy a $20 Walmart belt. You're still an idiot. Buy an appropriate belt. You want some recommendations? I'll tell you what I use.
I'm really harsh on the show today.
Well, I get tired of seeing saggy. All
right.
I use a Wilderness Frequent Flyer. I've also used the original instructor belt.
Mm.
There's a ton of other ones out there that are available. Mm-hmm. That's what I use. I know that's what Glenn uses. Mm-hmm. I know that's what 50% of the staff or more use.
Yeah, definitely.
So go buy a good belt. You're going to carry a gun.
You're here.
That's what I got for you today. Then what do you wear?
Artaic.
Okay.
What do you wear?
Artaic belt.
Arcteryx.
Yeah.
Dead bird.
Yeah. Dead bird's way. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a ton of good belts out there. Go buy an appropriate belt to carry your gun. That's all I got.
All right. I gotta make sure we look this up so I don't screw this up.
I have them right here.
Oh, okay.
I have the simplistic versions of them right here.
Do I have to sit in between you guys?
No, John and I are going to be cordial.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, you're probably right.
All
right.
Today's topic, after we're done with all the school shooting stuff.
Now that we're halfway through the show. It took us halfway through the
show. All right. But you know what? It's our show. We do what we want.
Got some good comments. Bill of Rights show. This should be some epic vulgarity. Pepper your Angus, folks. It's coming. All right. Here we go. Our show topic today is the first 10, the Bill of Rights from a layman's perspective.
Okay. Yeah, is there anybody in here have a law degree? Anybody?
My wife does.
Yeah, but is she in here?
I can get her on speakerphone.
Oh, please don't.
I got a lawyer I could call too.
We can call all kinds of lawyers, but this ain't about that, right? This is about, here's some important things to understand about what you guys are about to hear, all right? First of all,
it's our opinion.
We are all white, male, conservative, or libertarian, veteran Americans.
Heterosexual
Americans, all right? I'm a Christian.
I'm Christian-ish.
John is Christian-ish. Ryan believes in
fucking
dogs.
The heathen.
I'm a heathen.
He's
a heathen. Did you ever listen to the religion show?
I have not.
Dude, it's worth going back and listening to. It's literally one of my most favorite shows you've ever done.
I'm not a $10 enough patron. I don't know that. I don't have access to that. I asked our former producer to give me access.
I'm sure Ryan could get you access.
Right? Okay, because the former guy did not.
Right.
He's like, fuck you, Jeff.
What are you going to give me?
Over the
we'll
pants
talk
handy.
About it after the show.
Okay.
Over the pants, Andy.
Yeah. Give a little rub down.
Ooh. Seventh grade action.
All right.
So, so understand going into this, there's some important things to think about. Like whenever I sit down and start talking about freedom, liberty, rights, responsibilities, etc., with people, I always have to remember their perspective. The three of us in this room have a unique perspective to the majority of people that we interact with on a daily basis that are not a part of our instructor team or a part of, like, you know, your National Guard team or something. The majority of people that we deal with haven't been in our position. And even a lot of the people who have been in our position weren't necessarily there because they honestly and genuinely love their country. So the first thing about this is to understand that at some point in time, when you say, I love my country so much that I'm willing to do certain things for it, and that does not necessarily include military service.
No.
Right? But when you say, I'm willing to do certain things for my country, it changes the way that you see things like personal liberty. For people that have never sacrificed anything, and again, I'm not specifically talking about military service, but for people who've never sacrificed anything to be an American, one of the greatest things I ever did was one of our instructors has a wife who is an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful woman. Very patriotic person.
Mm-hmm.
And I got invited and had the opportunity to go watch her
naturalization
process. And I tell you what, man, it was it was moving. Like, I really, you're standing up in the balcony, you're looking down at this, you know, courtroom, basically. You have all these people who are from all over the world, all taking, first of all, they've passed a test that most Americans probably couldn't honestly pass, all right?
Yeah, I've heard about that test. I'm about 90% certain I might not see.
It's impressive, right? And then they're all, you know, raising their hand and swearing to it, and I'm like, these people have made sacrifices to be an American. I was born here.
And they are 100% renouncing their country.
They're saying, I am an American.
Yeah.
I was born here. We were all born here.
Yeah.
So it's like, for them, it was, they've made sacrifices. They understand and appreciate this on this level that I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about military service, because even with that, that's not necessarily, or law enforcement service or whatever, that's not necessarily you standing up for freedom and justice. It's just not necessarily how that works, right?
It's a good job.
So understand that going into this, we have some unique perspectives because of what we've experienced in our life. And that's not just limited to military service. Other things that we've done to sacrifice for our country and the things that we believe are true and honest, right? So the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, and I don't want to get into the history because I don't want this to turn into a history show, all right? Okay. But understand that, you know, the Bill of Rights that we see now is not the original Bill of Rights, right? So the first 10 amendments that we look at now were not the original first 10 amendments. A lot of changes happened before all this stuff got put into perspective, all right? So again, without getting too much into history, recently when I was in D.C., I went, you know, to the archives, National Archives. It was tremendously, I don't know, spiritual could be a word, I guess, mentally intriguing to stand and look at the real Declaration of Independence, the real Constitution, the real original Bill of Rights, and then the current actual Bill of Rights as they were really written on documents protected in this glass. Like, mm-hmm. It was like, that's the shit right there. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the stuff right there. And how stupid we've become, by the way, because I'm trying to read it and I'm barely even understanding. I could barely even read the writing, but that was so common for them back there, you know. I'm struggling reading through it. I was talking with these two gals behind me, because it's kind of a line that you go through.
Yeah, that's English,
man. There's these two gals behind me reading it, and they're like, can you read that? Because, like, you're really focused. And I'm like, no, I'm really focused because I'm trying to read it. They're like, we can't even read this. I'm like, it's freaking hard, you know. Yeah. Like, that's how dumb we've become. But
this actually has the original words.
Oh, perfect. All right, so we're going to get right into it. Amendment number one, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into any of these amendments, we always have to remember that with every right comes a responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's really important. All right, so from a layman's perspective, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So we're talking about founding fathers here putting an amendment together that specifically gives us some very, very important rights to praise or not praise God as we would like,
mm-hmm.
to say the things that we need, that we would like to say, to assemble peaceably and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, right? The kind of petitions and things like that we do now. I think this one's pretty straightforward.
It is. However, Ryan and I were briefly discussing this morning before you got here. And like you said, with the right comes the responsibility, and people forget about the responsibility, right? The right of free speech is great. I mean, you can say almost anything you want based on court decisions that have been made to try the First Amendment, essentially. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Right.
Sure.
You're going to go to jail for inciting a riot.
You see, no. The thing is, you can.
You can.
You can.
You can be on an airplane and say, I have a bomb. You absolutely can.
You can.
That is your right. But the thing is, with everything you say, there is a consequence.
Yeah.
Like John and I were talking about before the show. If I go on and I'm – for everyone listening, I am not saying this. But if I go on social media and say that I'm going to assassinate someone – let's say a political, someone political.
Like some of the stuff's been happening lately.
Exactly. The Secret Service is going to keep an eye on me, probably track me down, ask me some questions, so on and so forth. That is, they're not stopping me from my First Amendment right by any means. But there's a consequence to everything that I say and do, no matter what. Same thing if I go up to a random person and say, hey, you're a cocksucker. I'm allowed to say that. Yeah. But guess what?
They're also allowed to punch you
They're allowed to punch me in the mouth. Because there is a consequence to the shit that I say.
Yeah.
So, the freedom of religion thing I think is important these days, especially with the whole, you know, Muslim, Islam, all that kind of stuff. And for me, this becomes, you know, rights and responsibilities. Now, I'm not going to pick on Islam necessarily specifically, but I'm going to use this as an example because it's kind of a hot topic.
It's a really good example,
right? It's a good example, and it's a hot topic, obviously, right? There's other crazy cults and churches and stuff like that that are infringing on people's rights, but they're not as big of a deal, right? So they're not blowing people up in mass. So when you look at religions then who go, all right, is it okay for people to have this freedom of religion and worship however they want to? Yes. It is. You can worship whoever you want to, however you want to, wherever you want to, as long as you don't infringe on my personal liberty. When you start blowing stuff up, when you start talking about assassinating political leaders, when people that you've placed in a position of authority in your religion or who are recognized as positions of authority in religion, it's super convenient to then just, oh, we just denounce that person. Oh, they said something we don't like, we just denounce them. That's not the way that that works. Like Ryan said, with everything comes certain consequences. So if you want to be involved in a religion that publicly by the majority is doing things that are less than liberty building, less than freedom enhancing, less than safety increasing, then understand that you're going to get treated a certain way. Mm-hmm. And if you want to start crying First Amendment, I'm sorry, that's not the way that that works.
Mm-hmm.
You are free to do whatever you want, but you are also to expect the consequences of those things.
Of those things.
Of those things.
By those people.
By those people.
So let's say I am a perfectly law-abiding Muslim.
Sure.
I should suffer no consequences based on the things that other people are doing.
Correct.
It's the same thing that we'll get to in the Second Amendment.
Correct.
Because some dickbag with a gun did something, not all gun owners.
You shouldn't be whatever for that. Yeah.
Right. So just wanted to add a little, you know, there's some temperance in there.
That's absolutely correct. I think more from like a public level of things. It's like when Catholicism was going through all their problems with priests touching little boys and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't mean all Catholics are freaking pedophiles. It doesn't mean all priests are pedophiles. It doesn't mean any of that. However, when you start to see a trend, all right,
you can make a few assumptions.
Where a lot of people are getting wrapped up in this kind of behavior,
yeah.
There's a certain way where you go like, all right, if I'm going to be a part of this group, then I have to understand because of how they're publicly acting. And if you don't like the way that they're publicly acting, you're going to have to defend it. And you can't just sit back on your laurels and say, well, whoa, 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 freedom of religion. I'm allowed to do whatever I want to. Freedom of religion. You can't, you know, whatever, oppress me or change things. It's like, look, if people are walking around, you know, with like the headdresses and stuff like that. Like, if people are going to start walking around in these types of clothes or doing these types of things or whatever, and it becomes a security threat, it's not an insult to your religion when we take that away from you and say, no, you can't do that because all these other people are doing it. And this is such a gray area because, as you said, the very next one we're talking about here is the Second Amendment. But it's like it gets to a point where you're now a literal part of a group of people that are doing this thing. And so at some point in time, we have to be realistic about it and say, I don't want legislation about it. I don't want rules about it. I don't necessarily want that either. So it's tough.
But here's
very
here's,
very tough to figure out how do we give consequences to people without infringing on their rights.
Here's the thing. Your freedom of religion does not excuse you from the law of the land.
True.
So if you go to a place, we carry guns, right? There's places we can't carry our guns.
Mm.
The Constitution says I can have a gun, says I can carry a fucking gun wherever the fuck I want.
Yep.
However, there are laws in place that say, well, you can't bring that here.
Mm.
And I'm not screaming and crying and whining and throwing a fit about it.
How come it's a federal law that we're allowed to carry guns, but I'm not allowed to carry a gun in federal buildings?
But and that's what I'm talking about. It's a safety and security issue. But that's a
But all
we
all,
could get into all, a whole nother.
All federal buildings are not a security risk. Let's get fucking real.
Yeah, no, you're right. Right.
You're 100%.
The visitor
right.
center at the Grand Canyon is
it's not
a security risk.
No. All right. The VA is not.
I might argue that one with you.
I don't think it's
all right. All right, but actually,
security risk to other people.
Actually, the VA is a hospital, so you can't carry in hospitals anyways. But
actually, you can carry in private hospitals. You can't carry in the VA because it's a government building.
Yeah.
You can carry in private hospitals, a private property.
Yep.
They even put up signs that say you can't carry here, and you can still carry in there, and they just have to ask you to leave.
True that. Yep. True that.
Yeah. All right. So the second amendment.
Sorry. My bad.
No, you're fine. Because that ties right into what we're getting into, which is the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. Now, this is going to really tie into what we just talked
about.
Probably
one of the most polarizing amendments there is.
So here's the issue with this. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state.
Period. Or comma.
Comma, technically, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, mm-hmm. shall not be infringed. It doesn't have anything to do with militias. It doesn't have anything to do with muskets. It doesn't have anything to do with breech loaders. It doesn't have anything to do with a particular type of piece of equipment, time, era, etc. This was written to be... What's the word I'm looking for?
Everlasting?
Well, that's a good one for it. Yeah, that's not exactly what I was looking for. Yes, it's meant to be that, right? Because what we're talking about is two separate things. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state.
Yep. Part
one.
The Ninth and Tenth Amendments.
Part two, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Both
separate
of those
sentence.
Shall not be infringed.
That's right.
At all.
Nope.
The
period.
End.
Done.
Shall not be infringed. So it doesn't say fully automatic firearms. It doesn't say suppressors. It doesn't say in federal buildings. It doesn't say but unless we say you can't.
It doesn't say that.
So here's where my
libertarian.
Here's where my libertarian comes out. And it's not just about guns to me, because I know I just said, like, hey man, if you're part of a group of people that's doing this shit, you better get ready to understand the consequences of that. You gotta kind of self-regulate and self-police what you got going on here. I don't think that's like a religion, which is a certain set of beliefs that you've voluntarily joined this organization that believes in a certain way, and those beliefs are kind of doing this or that or whatever. And if it's happening on a large scale, at some point in time, you got to look and go, do I even want to be involved in this group? You know, if this is okay, if I've got priests touching boys and they're trying to sweep it under the rug, is this a religion I want to be a part of?
Yeah.
You know, because my leadership is lying to me. Do I want to be a part of that? Gun owners in America are not a group like that.
Right.
You could argue that. We all chose to go to the store and buy a gun.
Yeah, but...
We all chose to exercise...
But this specifically says, shall not be infringed.
You're right.
Right? So I don't think that gun... Because all Americans should be gun owners.
I agree with that.
Right? And if they're not, that's fine.
Whoa.
Okay, some people should not own guns.
Thank you.
But there
they
should
all
be,
have the right.
They all have the right
yes.
to.
Yes.
They all have the
not
right.
Not everyone should have free speech, but we all have,
right.
they all
right
have
to
the right to.
So,
absolutely right.
In my opinion, there should not be any laws that infringe on firearms.
No, not at all.
Magazine capacity, if it's fully automatic, how short it is, if suppressed, all that should be it's garbage.
Yes.
But I do believe there should be laws on people. I don't believe that everyone should be able to own a fucking firearm. I do not think so.
I think every right comes with responsibility.
Right. Same reason, I don't think everyone should be allowed to drive. I do not.
I 100% support that.
It's the same thing in my...
I also don't agree everyone should be able to breed.
Yeah. I actually agree with that.
Let's get into it now.
But, like... I think it's kind of bullshit that someone can leave a mental institution in the state of Arizona and go buy a firearm.
Now, that depends.
Why were they in the institution?
Well, hold on a second. That all depends on that, because a lot of that bullshit gets circulated about mental institutions and mental incompetence. I mean, if someone has been adjudicated mentally deficient, they're on the federal prohibited possessor
list. Okay. That's only if they were
adjudicated.
Yeah.
If you check yourself in and check yourself out,
they can go buy a firearm.
You can go buy a firearm.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Now, hold on a second.
Why not?
Because think about it, man.
Because what? Maybe you just try to kill yourself, and then you check yourself in, and then you get out, and you go buy a firearm, and then you go do something.
Like what? Kill yourself?
No. You're obviously mentally unstable. You just attempted suicide. You are mentally unstable.
But is mental instability is mental instability?
None of us in this room are mentally stable. Okay, I guarantee you that.
Is mental instability a reason to deny someone's rights?
A constitutional right. In other words,
here's the problem with anything. Here's the problem with anything that starts infringing on rights. Mm-hmm. Right. Every time we start legislating rights, mm-hmm. it takes us down a slippery slope. Because what exactly is mental incompetence? To you, me, or John, mental incompetence might be, I checked myself into a mental institution and I was having some suicidal tendencies, mm-hmm. and then I checked myself out. There should be maybe a time or yes. a series of times or whatever. But here's the problem. That's under what leadership? Not us. That's under whatever the current leadership is. Senate, Congressman, President of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. So now that changes. What becomes mental incompetence? Like, one of my conspiracy theories, why I will not talk to the VA under any circumstances about PTSD or anything like that, is because one of my freaking conspiracy theories is the reason that they push young veterans so hard to sign up for getting a few extra percentages of disability for having PTSD is because eventually that is the easiest way to disarm one of your most potentially competent portions of the population is to take your warriors out by saying you cannot legally own firearms because you are mentally incompetent. PTSD is a great way. It is a great way for someone later down the road to continue down that slippery slope and say, oh, if you've ever checked into a mental hospital, if you've ever had PTSD, and remember, PTSD isn't just going to be military veterans. It's going to be people who are involved in vehicle accidents, really awful divorces, any of those things, right? Right. Sexual abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, right. all those kinds of things. Yeah, sexual assaults. Now we're just mm-hmm. lumping in massive amounts of the population mm-hmm. with as soon as someone signed on the dotted line that says, yes, I declare, I agree, whatever, that I have PTSD under this doctor's orders or whatever. Dude, slippery slope. So to me, shall not be infringed literally and exactly means shall not be infringed. I will always take dangerous
freedom,
thank you, over peaceful slavery. If crazy people are out there with guns,
I also have guns.
And here's mm-hmm. the problem is that the crazy people are a societal problem. It's not a gun problem. Just like this person who shot up UNC, Charlotte. That is right. not... a gun problem.
Right, and I'm not talking about putting laws on guns. I'm talking about putting laws on people.
But you're doing
the
same thing.
That's a slippery slope.
You're essentially doing the same thing because you're putting a law or legislation in place that limits mm-hmm. that person's freedom.
So
or liberty.
Yeah. So how about this? Let's see if we can agree on this. Prohibited possessors is a pretty relatively long list. Like it's because you've got states that have certain prohibited possessors, yep. and then you have federal prohibited possessors. So like, yeah. to be a prohibited possessor in the state of Arizona is actually, there's additional things from just being a federal prohibited possessor. Mm-hmm. Either way, you can't possess weapons really of any kind. You can't have body armor. There's a lot of stuff you can't do, right? So if you're a prohibited possessor, there's a lot of different ways to become a prohibited possessor. Mm-hmm. Could we call that an infringement? No, and here's why. Because those people chose to not play by the rules. They chose to not follow the responsibilities of these rights. So if you go out there and you take your AR to freaking Starbucks and you cause a scene because you're being a dickbag and the cops show up and you want to go like, I'm American or whatever, and they arrest you because you're disturbing the peace, you're causing a public scene, whatever the hell all the freaking laws are in every different place where that kind of crap happened. That's well within their capabilities to do. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to be responsible with those rights. To me, checking yourself into a mental institution
is being responsible.
It is. And I'm not saying that they're never allowed to own a gun. I don't think they should be allowed to leave and go straight to a gun store and buy one.
But what if I check myself into a mental institution because I lost a kid to cancer? And it tore me up. It has nothing to do with some combat. I'm a dangerous person or something. Like, I lost a kid to cancer. It was a long fight, 2-3 years, drug me through the mud, drug my family through the mud. It was really hard. And I'm like, dude, I need some professional help. And I go and I check myself. I'm using this as a personal example because I have a friend who's done this.
Yeah.
Right? And then they come out the other side and they're like, man, I'm so glad that I did that because it gave me the focus that I needed. It gave me the physical and mental and spiritual help that I needed. And I was able to get over that because the people in my life who loved me just weren't able to give me the level of support that these people were, because they've seen this before. They've dealt with it. It was great. He was only in there for a couple of months. He comes back out and he's like, "Woof, that was great, man. That was good for me."
Yeah,
that guy should be able to go down and buy a gun.
But did he just leave there and go buy a gun?
Well, he probably went home and put his back on.
Yeah, he went back home and did whatever the hell he wanted to do. But my point is, he should be allowed to.
That's your opinion. That's not mine. That's not mine.
I have a hard time with anything that infringes on this right. And it's tough because, you know, we cannot keep ourselves safe by creating more legislation. What is there, 20,000 laws on the books?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah.
And we still have people break laws.
People still speed.
People still do, because...
People still drink and drive.
It's like this, man. Why do I speed? Now, first of all, speeding down the road has nothing to do with the Constitution. All right? Driving is not a constitutional right.
It's my freedom to speed.
All right? It's not a constitutional right.
It's a privilege.
It's a state-given privilege. It is not a federal privilege. Mm-hmm. It's not a constitutional right. That's why they're like, well, you have to have driver's license. Yes, because it's a state-issued right. And if a state said, fine, drive without a driver's license, like some states say, fine, carry without a concealed weapons permit, then it's up to that state to do.
Yep.
Right? So I'm totally fine with that. But let's just say, why do I continue to speed? And while that's not a constitutional thing, why do I continue to speed?
Because I don't trust drivers.
Okay, because one, like Ryan, I like to stay away from people. I don't like to be en masse. Okay, yeah. So there's one. I want to stay away from people. What's another one? What's the consequence for my action?
A ticket, maybe.
All depends on the cop I get, because you have different cops who enforce different laws, different ways. I'm not saying every cop should write tickets all the time. I'm personally very grateful that every cop doesn't write tickets all the time. I'm grateful that I can get pulled over for doing, you know, a reasonable amount over the speed limit, which I'll say 6, 7, 8 miles over the speed limit, and a cop's going to pull me over and say, hey, man, you were going too fast. You need to calm down. And I go, hey, dude, everything's cool. I'm cool. You're cool. Let's be cool. And he's like, cool. We're all cool. Let's just freaking part ways coolly, right? And I like that.
6, 7, or 8.
All right? That's when I get caught, huh? All right? So.
That's hilarious.
But see, at some point, like, then let's say I'm doing 12 to 15 over the speed limit. Now when a cop catches me and he's like, bro, you're being cool, I'm being cool, but I still got to give you a ticket. Now I'm only going to write you a ticket for 5 or 6 over or whatever, because even though you were going crazy fast, look, you weren't being wildly dangerous. You've been cordial with me. You've been upfront. You haven't lied. You told me you carry a gun, all these kinds of things. Hey, you're cool. I'm cool. Let's be cool. That's all fine. The problem with the way that whole system is set up is, one, no one's treated fairly. All cops are not held to the same standard on how they determine whether or not to give a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these rules that aren't even being enforced. And I use speeding as an example because that's how it works for everything. I could go out and murder someone, cold blood murder someone. John and Ryan could do the same thing.
We're probably all three going to catch
a different... All three of us are going to get a different situation because they're going to look at us in our backgrounds and our histories and who we are as people.
And the judge and the jury are going to be different.
And our lawyers are going to be different. And our timing's going to be different. And this may fit better with this political, you know, whatever's going on at the time. So they may hammer me harder than they hammer one of you guys. The point is that... Justice is so... our societal problem
We gotta save this. There's an amendment that talks about this.
I know, and it's okay to jump up to this, all right? Because our justice system is so freaking whacked out right now why I speed. Because there's no actual punishment for me speeding. What are you gonna give me a ticket for $200? $200 does not crush me. Look, I don't want to spend $200 any more than anyone else wants to. But if you give me a ticket for a couple $100... That's my ammo fund for the month, but it's not going to steal away my capability to live, right? It's not going to punish me so badly that I'm like, damn, I'm never going to speed again. And that's why you have repeat drug offenders, you have repeat child molesters, you have repeat murderers and repeat rapists, because we do not follow our own justice system. So creating more laws on top of a justice system that's already broken, right? The toaster is broken. All right, creating more, shoving more toast in the broken toaster doesn't make any fucking toast. All right, no toast is still being made. So that's my problem with looking at amendments, looking at rights, and doing anything that creates more legislation. Is like, look, in a way, I agree with Ryan of we need to start doing a better job of looking at people mentally and how they can handle themselves in society. But until we can follow or enforce the laws that we have, I don't want any more. We already have laws against murder. We already have laws against mental incompetency. We already have laws against doing all the bad things. We're not even enforcing those. Why would I want more? You know, I mean, an analogy I've given before, especially to students, is I'm like, if I tell my kid, you got to be home at 10 o'clock, and he comes home at 10:30, if I make the law, fine, now you have to be home at 9:30, is he going to come home at 9:30? No, he's not, because he already broke the law when it was 10. He's just going to keep
changing
coming
the law.
Home
doesn't matter. 10:30
or 11, or I could make an extra law. I could say, oh, okay, you can't make it home at 10, fine. You also need to make sure that you take the garbage out before, you know, before you come in. He's also not going to take the garbage out, right? I can make all the extra rules I want. He's not following the rules that I have. If he can't follow one rule, he's not going to follow five rules. And even worse would then for me to punish his sister because he came home at 10:30. So now I'm like, oh, you can't make it home at 10? Well, now
maybe your sister's paying the price.
Now your sister has a freaking curfew of 9:30. And she's like, what? Why am I getting punished? And it's like, well, because you're related. You're in the same family. You're whatever. You live in the same house.
You have the same belief system.
Right, you have the same belief system. You're both getting punished for his freaking crimes. Like, that's the problem with the way we have our justice system set up right now is we're not punishing people actually. We're not punishing them swiftly. Our due process is broken.
All
right.
We gotta get there, bro.
And even more so, we're punishing people who haven't done anything.
A lot of times, yes.
And so, like, as we continue on here, that's a problem. All right?
Yes.
So, amendment number 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. This amendment gets attacked a lot because people are like, see, this just proves how outdated the Constitution is because that's not how we fight wars anymore. And I go, have you been to Iraqistan? Because that's exactly how we fight wars. We go, you see this house? This ain't your shit anymore. Get the fuck out. We're commandeering this. This is our new CPOP, LP, whatever. Like,
different.
This is our place now.
Different. Because here, this specifically applied to saying, okay, I'm going to put my soldiers here.
Yeah.
You're going to feed them.
Uh-huh.
You're going to fix their clothes. You're going to wash their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get shit for it because if you argue or fight with me, I'll just fucking kill you. And that's what this was meant to prevent.
And so that's my point, though. When we go and invade other countries, it's interesting how we don't offer them the same liberties and freedoms that we ourselves enjoy. So now when people go, hey, this is outdated, I'm like, no, it is not.
No, not really.
We kick them out. We tear down all their shit. We put charges on their wall. We blow holes in their wall for gun ports. And we turn it into a fortified position.
And then when we leave, we say thanks for the miles and smiles.
Yeah.
If we don't demo it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we might have some SI in there. We need to demo this bitch.
And we leave poop.
and we also we poop everywhere. So my point is that like this is, some people will say, well, this just proves how outdated the Constitution is. No, it does not. When you look at why the Founding Fathers wrote these amendments, I mean, they did it because of the stuff they had seen. The wars they had been through themselves. The wars they had just come through. The understanding that they had of previous societies, all the way back to Roman times and before. Bible times. These people were students of history. They knew what had happened would continue and repeat itself.
Because that shit happens during war.
Yeah.
Exactly what they're trying to prevent right there. Hey, you know what? You want to update the Bill of Rights? You want to take that out? Sure. And guess what? If a conflict happens on this soil, you're going to fucking miss it.
Right.
So here's an interesting question that has come up. We're going to kind of digress just a little bit. But Ryan, felons should get their voting and firearm rights back after completing their sentence. Either you've paid your price and should be returned to society or you should stay in prison. I agree with that to an extent, and before we jump too much more into the due process thing, here's why I agree with that.
I think it
at some
be
point
based
in time,
on the felony.
Well, so that's it. At some point in time, you have to either say this person has reparations and they have been paid to society. Now we're going to accept them back in society. It's like putting a kid in timeout. Mm-hmm. Right? If my kid gets in trouble, and however you discipline him is disciplining, I'm going to use timeout because it's a universal method that a lot of people have tried, used, whatever. It doesn't work for everybody, just like prison doesn't work for everybody. Right?
Right.
So I'm going to take timeout, and I'm going to go, okay, kid, you got to go sit in the corner for 3 minutes. Don't touch anything. No toys. Don't, you know, you're not allowed to interact with anybody, whatever. And they go do that. When they come back, I don't remind them about it, or I'm like, now you're not allowed to have any more Kool-Aid. For the rest of your life, no more Kool-Aid, because remember that one time you broke that rule? No more Kool-Aid for you.
Right.
That's not a fair punishment to that kid. So there's got to, that's a cruel and unusual punishment. He's like, look, I understand that I broke the rule about Kool-Aid, but I paid
my price. I'm 21.
Yeah.
I was a fucking Kool-Aid.
Like, I paid my price, man. I did the punishment. Now, if he comes back out of the corner and continues to repeat the crime, repeats it again, can't conform, can't pass a certain type of, you know, maybe
probation. He has probation. Just like he would probably normally have.
And during that time, if he can't play by the rules, well, then we have a problem.
And then after probation, he gets his rights back. And
then you get your rights back. It shouldn't be this years-long process and having to petition a judge, which is all going to be different. Because we have clients that have gotten their rights back to own and carry firearms and have come to training with us that I've helped through this process because they've come to me and said, hey, I'm a prohibited possessor because I, you know, was a shithead when I was a kid and I freaking sold too many drugs and it was a felonious amount of drugs and I went to prison for a couple of years and I got out and now I got a family and a business and I'm not a shithead anymore, but I've got this felony. How do I expunge it? And I've been through that process with actually several of our students, more than I thought I would ever do. And helped them along and also watched them go through the process. And man, it is all about the judge you get.
Mm.
Some judges are like, dude, you should totally have your rights back. Look at you. Look at you being playing by the rules. Look at you being a good citizen. Absolutely. And other people are like, no, inexcusable, felonious, freaking 25 years ago. You're old, you know, once shitbag goes to shitbag kind of thing. It's like, whoa. So I'm totally with you, Ryan, at some point in time. But again, that's because the justice system is so freaking broken and backwards. Yeah, we don't even have a good thing in place outside of probation and parole, which are meh at best.
Yeah.
Because the system is run by the government instead of a private organization, which is how it should be run, not by the government, but by the organization. So it's like, if you have the government's the one that makes the rules. The government's the one that enforces the rules. The government's the one that arrests you when you break the rules.
Yeah.
The government's the one that controls you when you break the rules. And then the government's the one that makes the decision on how you're going to act or have to react when you have, quote unquote, paid your price.
And then
the government's the one that monitors you. I don't know if you guys are seeing a trend here, but that's a really bad idea.
Well, and they say they're in charge of the checks and balances. That makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because we, and I use we in the most generic term possible, have forgotten, and you've used this term a couple of times, and I 100% disagree with it. The people, politicians, are not our leadership.
Correct. They serve us.
We have forgotten that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As a whole,
completely
we have
agreed.
Forgotten that.
Yeah.
Same thing with judges. Same thing with lawyers. Same thing with law enforcement.
Well,
it's all the same thing. These people all work for us.
They're representatives. We forgot what that word means. They're representatives of us.
Yep.
Like, completely forgot.
So, if we want to change it, guess what? It's in our powers to change it.
All right, so moving on to the Fourth Amendment, we're on number 4 out of 10. We're like almost out of time. All right, it's gonna be a longer show, folks. Buckle in. All right, so Amendment 4: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, but particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important amendment.
Yeah.
Very clear language as well.
Very, very clear language. And it's one of the ones that I see honest people just give up because they say, and I quote,
I've got nothing to hide.
Yep.
Of course.
And they just throw that freaking right out the window, and then they get bound up on something, and they're like, but wait. And it's like, nope, you gave up this right.
Yep.
So with the right comes the responsibility of understanding what your rights are. To sidetrack for a second, talk about that for anyone who's listening. And if you have children, here's an important thing. I used to teach a high school class, and it was called Youth Safety and Education. It was a 4-week program. It was a lot of fun. We talked about guns. We talked about the Constitution. We talked about emergency medicine. We talked about survival. We had tons and tons of fun with this school up in Prescott. Great program. High school age kids. one of the first, and some of these kids, most of these kids were troubled kids. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a rough and tumble school, and the people and kids in there
were usually, last chance charter school.
It was basically a last chance charter school. And you know what? Here's the interesting thing about that, just from a behavioral standpoint. I taught at that school for years and every semester. And every time I went in there, they'd hand me the roster and they would say, like, you're going to have a problem with this kid and this kid and this kid. I never had a problem with any kids, and I never, ever, ever kicked anyone out of class. And here's why. Because as soon as I started class, I had three basic rules, right? I laid out my three rules. I said, my name is Mr. Stilson. You'll call me Mr. Stilson or Stilson. I'm not your friend, so you won't call me by my first name. I'm not here to be your pal. Here's my three rules for class. You'll follow these rules or I'll kick you out. You get one strike. One strike, and then you're out. I gave definitely some kids their one strike, but I never had to kick anyone out after that. Because I had three simple rules, and they were three simple rules that were easy to follow, and then I enforced those rules, turns out, no problems. I never had problems with kids in there. I had kids in there who were felons. I had kids on who were work released there from juvie. You know what I mean? I had some serious problem kids, and most of them weren't that they were bad kids, that they'd been raised poorly, they didn't have good influences, etc. But one of the first things that I always ask them up front is I would say, all right, how many kids here, and most of them had negative interactions with law enforcement, how many kids here have ever felt like in an interaction with law enforcement your rights were violated? And the majority of class would put their hands up. And I'd say, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. All right, of all of you with your hands up who said your rights were violated, and I point to a kid and say, you, name me 5 of the 10 amendments out of the Bill of Rights. Maybe they'd get one. All right, you, name, if he can't name me 5, can you name me 3? Can you name me 2? Can you name me 1? And then eventually I'd be like, all right, everyone put your hands down. How dare you? How dare you put your hands up and say that your rights were violated? You don't even know what the fuck they are.
Yep.
I tell you what, it always got kids to pay attention to my constitutional classes. Because then they'd be like, oh my gosh. They'd be like, yeah, that's why this is important. But their first homework assignment was to pick an amendment that was interesting to them. They could pick any amendment they want, I don't care, and write me a 2-page non-freaking plagiarized thing, which I always check for with these kids, non-plagiarized document on why that amendment was important, what was the history of the amendment, when was it ratified, what's the history of it being applied. And you know what? These kids, by the end of that class, were like, holy shit, I didn't even know that I had these rights. And it's like, dude, amendment number 4 is probably one of the number one things that people just give up.
4 and 5.
4 and 5 go
off. And 5 for sure, yeah. But number 4 just goes right out the window. People are like, oh, I have nothing to hide. You may not, but trust me, you do. Because the government hates you and your elected representatives and officials don't like you, just get that shit through your head right now, all right? The government doesn't like you because you like liberty, and any government is anti-liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's God's pure government, all right, which doesn't exist on this earth. It does not like personal liberty because personal liberty goes against big government.
Yep.
So as soon as you can accept that government and your elected officials actually despise you, then you can start to understand why it's so important to follow these rights. Because you don't think you've done anything wrong. Remember those 20,000 laws on the books?
You've probably broken one of them.
You've broken some of them. You don't think you've done anything wrong. Don't make assumptions.
Well, there's a dissertation for it.
All right, yeah, we got some interesting stuff. Really enjoy a show with law enforcement professionals dealing with the Fourth Amendment. Could discuss your right, what not to say, and so on. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely get a copy. Make a note of that, Ryan.
Okay. Fourth Amendment.
We're going to get a long-standing police officer in here.
We've got a few.
I've got a couple good ones in mind that have been through a variety of different assignments throughout their law enforcement career and are personal liberty and freedom-loving individuals themselves. So I'm not going to get a freaking jackboot thug in here. Oh, okay, that's another thing. Yeah, make sure you read this comment later.
I will.
Put a show topic on after that. all right, cool. So let's go forward to the Fifth Amendment because it kind of ties in. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. That's one section. Right? A grand jury, unless you're in the military, basically, or a militia, in which case you don't get a grand jury because they ain't got no time for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Oh, and then that also puts you
under UCMJ.
Squarely puts you under UCMJ.
Yeah. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. That's another section of it, mm-hmm. right? Can't have double jeopardy. Mm-hmm. All right? nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That's another section. That's it.
Yep.
And then the last one, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation, which also kind of ties into the Third Amendment a little bit of the housing.
Yeah.
Like, look, if we're going to come in and bust your shit on your couch and blow a freaking gunpoint through your wall,
by the way, in Iraq, we generally go back and pay them and rebuild their houses and stuff like that.
Sometimes.
You don't see that.
Sometimes.
Provincial construction teams and all those guys actually go back and fuck people's shit. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying people don't go back and refuck their shit up, but...
not where we were in Afghanistan.
So,
nobody was going back in there.
So we've got multiple parts here, okay? The first part we're talking about, capital crimes, infamous crimes, grand jury necessities. All right, that's important, except basically with anything that falls under UCMJ. That's a totally separate conversation. Can't have double jeopardy. Can't be a witness against yourself unless you voluntarily do, which most people do. nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. You remember when we had our lawyer Eric on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to him about, like, this is what you say, this is what you don't say when you're interacting with law enforcement. One of the things he said that has always stuck in my mind, and I quote him now a lot in our legal classes, where he says, everyone has the right to remain silent, but most people lack the ability to.
Hmm.
He's like, most of the time when I show up to a client for anything, for any kind of something where it's like, all right, I'm here to defend. It's like, all right, well, you know, you didn't say anything, right? And they're like, oh, no. And then the cop pull out this recording of them like, and there I was, and I did this, and he was wearing that, and then I was really drunk. And Eric just puts his hand in his head like, you got to be freaking kidding me, man. You know, like, you said everything.
Yeah.
You said, I can't even help you now. So, again, because people get that idea of, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm the good guy.
Sure you can.
You've done something, 20,000 laws, man. In Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand specifically says, she's talking about, you know, their society and how it's built up. Do you create a nation of laws? Do you create a nation of criminals? And thereby, everybody is almost by default definition a criminal because you've broken laws that you didn't even know existed.
And ignorance of the law is no excuse.
And so when you start running your mouth and let everybody search your stuff and thinking the cops are your friends, not that the cops are your enemies, that's definitely not what we're saying. But when you start thinking that that's how that goes, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep.
You guys have any input on that? Fifth?
Not really.
I plead the fifth.
All right, Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecution, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. That's one part. Mm-hmm. And part of that is when you read the language that the Founding Fathers utilized, what's really interesting is when they say things like, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law. Why is that so important? Because it makes it so that you can't commit a crime and then all of a sudden some people that don't like you throw together a district real quick and say, oh, in this district we have these laws and we just made that shit up. And you broke those laws and now we're going to hang you for that. And you're like, whoa.
That didn't
previously
exist.
Like, they wrote this so specific because they'd been screwed and they'd seen other people get screwed. They just came from a fiefdom, man. Mm-hmm. They came from a thing where they were used to a ruling authority that could change at any point in time and might be a freaking 16-year-old boy, right? All of a sudden making these wild freaking accusations and charges against
people just making crazy laws.
So
it's like, well, it's illegal to wear a feathered hat in my presence today. Wore a feathered hat, so hang him.
Hang that man. To be confronted with the witnesses against him. That's another.
To face your accusers.
Which is interesting because I've got a couple things going on in my personal life right now, which is like, sometimes you end up with these accusers and you're just like, everyone these days hides.
Social media.
Dude, they hide behind social media. They little group text. Like, it's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, dude, face people. If you're going to accuse someone of doing something, face them.
Talking behind people's back, passive-aggressive comments. It's like, just be direct. Quit being a pussy.
I like being passive-aggressive sometimes. I'm really good at it, but I'll do it to your face.
Okay,
I'll
be
passive.
Are you talking about sarcasm or being passive aggressive?
I will do both. I'm guilty of both for sure.
Okay. Because I love being sarcastic.
Oh, I
sarcasm's yeah. one thing.
Yeah, but being passive aggressive, that just pisses me the fuck off.
We'll talk about it later.
See? Woo!
Ayo!
Passive aggressive as fuck, right?
To have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, that's another second,
yep.
or another section. And to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, another section. All very important sections setting up a possible success for someone in a criminal case,
yep.
so that you as the accused have due process.
Yes.
Right? Which we recently had a very lengthy discussion about.
Pre-show about.
My take on this is the same as it always has been. The failure of the justice system is that it's too big.
Yes.
It's too complicated.
Mm-hmm. And Lady Justice is not
And blind. It's not fast enough.
Lady Justice
I want to see people swing fast.
Yep.
I want to see people dead fast. This shooter from UNC Charlotte, why aren't they dead?
When is that fucking cut and dry?
We have enough time.
When is that cut and dry? Completely agree. But when it's not...
It's questionable.
Yes.
Then we need...
Well, and that's where your trial comes in, your witnesses.
A public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime was committed.
You know how this got fucked up? Lawyers. That's exactly how this whole thing got fucked up.
You're talking about life in America, right? Because
you
could apply lawyers to that whole thing.
Yeah, but no, like that's how the legal system is.
Sorry,
that's
lawyer.
That's why the legal system is the way it is. And I'm not lumping all lawyers together. Okay?
No. There's a type.
There's for sure a type of lawyer.
It depends on the law that they're going for. If you're talking about... business lawyers or aviation law lawyers or, lawyers who deal with, bankruptcies or something. That's an entirely different thing. Talking about criminal justice lawyers.
Because those are the same guys.
I'm not even just talking about criminal justice lawyers.
Those are the same guys.
No, neither am I.
I'm actually talking about a lot of lawyers.
Became Supreme Court justices that made a lot of rulings that have held up the amendments that have said, oh, well, this applies here, but this doesn't apply here.
Mm-hmm.
Like it all became very wishy-washy in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and mid 1900s. And some things it became very solidified, right? Like your Miranda rights. That was a good thing that came out of a Supreme Court case.
Yeah, right? I think it was a case here in Arizona too, right?
It was.
Maricopa County.
Yep. Yeah, sure was.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of your due process and your issues with the system have become the problem. Is it's not that. Not the system. It's how the system has been built.
Well, if you broke everything back down to the Ten Amendments, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
It's clear, it's clean, and it's
pretty basic. It's
easily digested.
Unfortunately, we've added so much crap on top of this.
Because we have let the government get too big.
We think that we need to redefine things.
Yep.
We think we need to add definitions to things that are already defined. Right, like Second Amendment and gun control stuff. They're like, well, shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed except for, shall not be infringed but, shall not be infringed whatever.
No, that ends with a period.
Period, man.
Legitimately a period at the end of it.
That's it. That's all there is.
Yeah, there's no reason to complicate things.
Amendment 7, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. And we're talking about civil cases. So we just changed from a criminal case to a civil case.
Basically
two people
says
against
that
each
civil
other.
Civil cases are trial by jury. The essence of what it says.
In suits at common law where there's a certain amount, the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States. So again, it kind of helps us prevent a little bit against that double jeopardy idea of,
mm-hmm.
You can't take these facts and then sue this person with the same shit later on.
Right.
You know, some point in time when a jury
examines
these facts.
It's exactly how O.J. Simpson got away with murder.
Well, it's like, look, if you examine these facts and then you go, okay, that evidence is irrelevant, no good, bad, whatever, they can't 6 months later sue him for the same damn thing with the same freaking evidence.
Yep.
If a jury says no, then that means no, and no means no, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So civil cases is important. Amendment number 8, excessive bail shall not be required, which is important because we don't, if you take the common man and you put him in jail for, I don't know, let's say something stupid, property damage, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got pissed at his neighbor and he threw a rock through his window. You don't want him to have a $50,000 bail. This guy's not a flight risk. He's not a, you know, he's not going to do. Now you've put a guy who maybe lost his temper, didn't really put anyone in some kind of violent, you know, predicament, didn't rob anyone of their liberty per se. And you've taken him away from being able to go to work and provide for his family.
He's like, now you're going to stay in jail
until you can bail out. And he's like, dude, I can't afford $50,000. And yeah, it's like putting people in debtor's prison. Yeah, he's supposed to get in debtor's prison.
That never made sense to me.
Yeah, bail doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you guys?
Bail makes sense to me in this perspective. If you're going to arrest someone for a crime, they should, in my opinion, never be in processed in to an actual jail if the plan is to make bail. Now, the reason that how it works right now is, of course, they get held, then they go before a judge. The judge hears their side of the story or the lawyer's side of the story, and then they decide, okay, should we administer bail to this situation or should we not? The bail should be set at X. Is this person a flight risk? Are they a hazard to the community, et cetera, et cetera? You know, if they're a flight risk, you know, they're bam, $1 million, and they're like, well, we just screwed up the Eighth Amendment. If we're going to hold someone on excessive bail or maybe no bail, then we're gonna. Why even should excessive bail be applied? Just put him in jail.
What's the purpose of bail? Like
the idea is that I should be able to get out of jail. I should be able to pay my way out of jail if I am not a danger to society, but I still essentially owe. I have to be able to pay this amount of money to be able to get out of jail, so that I can get out of jail.
The concept is, it guarantees that you're going to show back up to court.
Yeah, because I now owe $50,000 to somebody. Because if I don't show
up to court, I'm on the hook for 50 G's.
Because if they just go,
they'll come take my money.
Yeah, if the court says, okay, you're not a flight risk, go ahead and go home, no big deal, your court date is such and such, right, May 12th, and you decide to not show up on May 12th, there's the fear for you. I mean, now you become a flight risk, you freaking run away, and now there's no one's potentially going to go look for you. Right? I mean, we can send the court system after you, we can send law enforcement after you, but now we've taken them away from their task and their job, which is not their task and job.
They will actually insure.
A bench warrant, right. And a bench warrant may go out depending on the case. But with bail, which is normally relatively small without issuing a bench warrant, now you can take the capability and say, all right, a private organization is now going to issue this bail if you don't have the money yourself. Now, if you have the money yourself, you're on the hook for that amount of money. So if you run, you lose that money. Now, if you take a loan out, basically, from like a bail bondsman, and you don't pay that back, then they send their own people out after you. And those people are not law enforcement. Their rules and regulations are much looser than law enforcement. And they can take your stuff, and they can take your possessions. And whatever you put up as collateral for the bail, they can take that. Mm-hmm. So you potentially might lose a home, a car, a lot more than just like a $50,000 loan or whatever.
Gotcha.
So there is a reason. It's kind of an incentive, so to speak. Again, that system is broken, and it's been so heavily infiltrated by the government that if it was managed more by private entities, I don't think it would be as bad. But because the government's got involved.
And I honestly believe part of the original concept was to help pay for the inconvenience of having to deal with
you. Well, that's what I'm thinking, and if that's so, then shouldn't it just be a fixed fucking price?
There's already going to be a fine.
Yeah.
So there's already going to be a fine associated with this breaking of the law.
Right.
So
I understand that.
Money is reparation.
So shouldn't bail just – and I guess we're getting off topic. We just move on.
No, bail should be increased according to the crime or to how the judge feels like if you're a flight risk or whatever it may be. Because here's the thing. If I give you – let's say, you know, you do something dumb and you end up in jail, and as the judge I go, okay, what's a lot for Ryan? Let's take a look here. Okay, $100,000 is a lot for Ryan. So – $100,000 is your bail, right? If you can get it together to be able to get $100,000 together, it's going to be tough for you. The likelihood of you running is not going to be very high because it was tough for you to get that $100,000 together, right? But if I grab someone who's a millionaire and I set them at $100,000, dude, total flight risk, right? Mm-hmm. He's just going to pay $100,000 and leave. $100,000 is not the same to them as it would be to one of us sitting in this room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's appropriate to set bail that's kind of, you know, appropriate, because if it's just a set fee or a set fine, which already will be done because of the crime that you committed, if bail was just a set price, then it would be worse for some than others.
Hmm.
Which would be cruel and unusual.
which the rest of freaking Amendment 8 is, nor, you know, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. So it's not, I hate to use this word, but it's not fair, right?
Mm.
Now, cruel and unusual punishments, I have...
That's another one that's gone a long way through the Supreme Court.
I just want public hangings. I want people to swing. I want my kids to hear someone's neck crack. I swear to God, that's what I want in my life. Why do I want that? Because that's how you're going to show people what the fuck's up.
When you start hanging people, a lot less people commit the same shit.
You start,
I don't think that's true.
I 100% do.
And we saw that through history because people still hung.
Yes, but per capita, less crimes. Now, also look at in history, like people often compare this, like, well, the Wild Wild West, people would hang, but, you know.
We have more laws now, so.
But they would go, people would hang, but there were still people out there rustling cattle. Yes, per capita, however, there were less criminals. One. Two, the lawmen themselves were often previous criminals, right? A lot of those lawmen were previous criminals, and some of them were even still criminals while they were lawmen, because you literally, the three of us could roll into an old West town, and they could be like, we ain't got no sheriffs. And we'll be like, well, we served in the army back in the Civil War. And they're like, boom, Glenn's a sheriff, you guys are his deputies, rock and roll. And then we just...
That'd be great.
Let's do it.
I think we should find the town and 100% do it.
Then we just do what we do, right? So the point is that things back then, our whole justice system wasn't even, this was all in existence, right? The Constitution was already there, but
everything was really spread out.
There wasn't a lot going on. There was a real lack of oversight in certain areas. The kind of stuff.
There was no oversight in the West.
On the East Coast, the settlements, the same stuff as what was going on in Wyoming.
The settlements were on Indian territory.
Yes.
So, yeah, it wasn't even, like, these amendments weren't...
There was no oversight because there was no one there to oversight.
Well, I mean, these amendments weren't even in play because it was on Indian territory. It wasn't even on...
American territory, yeah. So. And in some cases, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So, cruel or unusual punishments inflicted. To me, in my mind, that means something that is specifically designed to cause pain and only pain.
That is one of them, yeah.
Right. Not there. There's no benefit. There's no lesson to be learned.
It's like
we're just going to cause pain to you.
Some of the more medieval stuff that would happen, like
the stretching, flaying, yeah. Whippings, things like that, are just to create pain.
Stoning.
These are not, bro.
I firmly believe that if some of those things were still in play, like public whippings, maybe to a reasonable degree.
But here's the problem. Historically, we see it doesn't work.
Well, Singapore does not have a massive problem with graffiti.
I have, in fact, been to Singapore.
There's not a lot of graffiti in Singapore.
Or stealing, because they cut off hands.
But to me, a cutting off of the hand is not a cruel and unusual punishment.
I think it's a bit extreme.
It's extreme.
I wouldn't call it cruel and unusual.
But it's not cruel and unusual. I'm all for a punishment that fits the crime, and I'm not saying the first time you take a loaf of bread, you should lose a hand.
You lose like a half a finger.
But the second or third time that you do it, there needs to be something that, one, says this person can't learn from their mistakes. Like Ryan brought up earlier, at some point in time, someone has to be able to have to have reparation. So if you go, hey, you stole a loaf of bread, off with your hand, you're like, well, damn, now everyone's going to see that person as a thief for the rest of their life, and they're always, I lost it in an industrial accident. Like, no, you didn't. That's a clean cut. You got to freaking cut off a damn, you know, hangman or whatever. So that's not going to work.
The handman.
Right?
The handman.
Yeah. The handman. So in this case, it's like at some point in time when someone is proving that they're no longer capable of fitting into society, there has to be a punishment instead of just sticking them back in the box with their buddies, which is all we do right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Amendment 9, other rights kept by the people. This one's pretty damn important.
Yeah, not all rights are listed. People still have them.
The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Yep. Meaning if we didn't write it down here, the people have all the other rights.
Yep.
Just because we didn't write it here
doesn't mean the people don't have it. That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Which is interesting because people debate this from a standpoint of like, well, these rights are, you know, this, that, but this right. And I'm like, literally in the Constitution, it even says if we didn't write it down, the people can still have it.
Yeah, it would be an inexhaustible. You couldn't write all the rights down.
No, you couldn't.
It's impossible.
Too much.
And they understand that, hey, shit's gonna change.
Yeah.
They knew that.
Yeah.
Final Amendment, powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Anything not given to the government.
Not specifically enumerated to the federal government.
By the Constitution. Belongs to the states or to the people respectively.
Huh.
We have just shit all over that one.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's because the states have allowed it to happen.
It's because the people have allowed it to happen. Incorrectly. As people, we think that the government, we are controlled by the government, or the government makes the rules. The government doesn't make the rules.
Nope, we do.
We should be making the rules.
Yep.
And because the government has so many rules now that we didn't make, and you have all these politicians now arguing and investigating each other and dog and pony shows and smoke and mirror shows, these people should be hung. End of story.
Treason.
It is treason.
It's a whole lot of them.
It's a whole treason freaking thing.
Wrap the system, start over.
And we're not doing anything about it because as people, we have too much to lose. We've let it go so far, the government is so big, that even though these 10 amendments could literally restart a nation.
Weird, it's like that's what they did the first... I don't know, it's crazy.
Shocking, right? Crazy talk.
We could literally restart a nation with just these 10 amendments. But because we don't follow them anymore, and we've allowed the government to take all the rights and tell us what we can and cannot do,
mm-hmm.
because we've let that happen.
Well, this is that bullshit that
big.
Right around election time, people are like, well, the country should be ran like a business. I'm just like, fuck no. Like, the country is not a business. That's how the people get fucked. And 10th Amendment is a perfect example mm-hmm. of that.
So what do you guys think? Did we describe them appropriately? If you think that we totally missed a point on an amendment, please
let us know.
Put it in the comments because you know we have to talk a lot and we don't have so much time to talk and sometimes we get off on sidetrack.
This could have been like a month long series.
We could have done almost a show on each amendment. Yeah, pretty much. So if you guys think we missed something or whatever.
Or if you don't agree with our interpretation.
Yeah, if you just think we're crazy. Shoot us a message as you guys love to do. info@trainingaz.com is the email. Drop us a freaking line on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Let us know how you think and what you think. And we're happy to air that out on the next show.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah, good stuff. All right, thank you again to all of our patrons for supporting the show. We really appreciate you. Remember the giveaways that we're doing. Remember, no purchase necessary or no additional purchase necessary beyond what you've already done to become a patron. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get a host information by emailing us info@trainingaz.com. We love to travel around the country and train with different people and in different environments. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. I bought some of their coffee.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really?
So I hit up Adam and I go, hey man, does this coffee suck or what? Like, I love you, dude. I don't want to buy you coffee if it's just like freaking Costco coffee that you poured into another bag. You know what I mean? And
we still have to make that sense.
I know, we do. We definitely do. And he's like, no, man, it's really good. It's really good. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna give it a shot. It's a little bit more expensive than like Folgers, right? So I gave it a shot. I got some of the coffee.
But is it cheaper than Starbucks?
Yes, so by a lot, yeah.
And that other company that makes coffee, is it cheaper than them?
Yes.
Oh, the talk about black, is it Black Rifle?
Black Rifle, yeah.
I was trying not to say it, but yeah.
Oh, why?
So, I don't really like their coffee.
I've never had it. It's just
I've had a few of them, and
it's all right. It's all right. It's coffee. Yeah. It's freaking Folgers. But, I tried some of the Heroes Media stuff. Really good.
Ethan's going to call.
I know. I'm going to phone call from those guys now. But Heroes Media Group tried out some stuff. Here's the thing. They're probably all like using the same shit. This is probably Folgers. I don't know. But it's really freaking good. I really liked it, and I would recommend it, actually. All right.
Not Ethan, Evan.
Next week is going to be a pre-recorded show. I apologize. We got to do it because we're not going to be available to be around. But next week's a pre-recorded show. We're going to bring in Josh, one of our guys from Independence Training, big long-range competitor, or one of our long-range instructors, our primary long-range instructor. shit, this guy freaking competes, you know, 2 or 3 weekends out of the month, all over the country.
Constantly.
Just finished the, just this last weekend, the JC Steel competition, did a phenomenal job there. And he's going to be in the studio with us talking about the latest and greatest in long-range shooting and competing. Some of the big things he's seeing, like all these crazy new calibers, you know, shooting platforms, techniques, concepts, a lot of the stuff that's changing from conventional precision rifle.
Just take notes for
that. Dude, when Josh and I first started teaching long-range stuff with Independence Training, man, it's been probably 8 years ago or so, it was a different program because
it was a wildly
different program. We were not competing at the time. Competitions weren't as big of a deal. And competition in this world, practical is driving the tactical in the long-range shooting world, all the way to the military side, where the military is picking up a lot of the, you know, it used to be the flip-flop, but now military is picking up a lot of the concepts and techniques and equipment using that, you know, the civilian market really tried out. So
very cool.
Yeah, Josh is going to be in the studio talking to us about that. It's going to be pre-recorded, so we won't have Facebook Live, but it'll still be available on iTunes, Spotify, and the podcast. Mm-hmm. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to the Arms Room.